Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Natural Co-Creators Show with Jennifer Lynch. And today, shortly, we're going to have Dessa Darnell with me talking about her Unfinished Woman retreats in Kefalonia. Now, Dessa has been on the show before and I've also been on a retreat in Kefalonia, so this is going to be a really, really great interview. Dessa's a creativity coach. She's a writer, she does life coaching, she does all sorts of amazing workshops, she's creative, she makes things. There's no end of things that Dessa does, so I can't wait to have her on. I'm sure that she's going to be along any minute. I'm just going to read a little bit about what she's written on her website about her retreats while I'm waiting. The retreat, which takes place in June 2018, is perfect for those women who want a break from the busyness of life. It's for women who want simple days by the sea to relax, recover, and rediscover who they are, where they are right now, and who they are becoming. I think she's here, so let's just open this up. Good evening, Dessa.
Good evening, Jennifer.
I've just been saying that you're coming on to talk about your fabulous retreats, which will take place in June of next year in Kefalonia. And it's an amazing, amazing island that I've been fortunate enough to be there. And please, I'm just going to hand it over to you for you to just tell us what's happening.
Thank you very much. I am indeed doing a couple of retreats next year. The first retreat we're doing in Kefalonia is in June of next year, and that's a retreat for unfinished women, women who want to escape the busyness of life for just a little while, women who are tired of trying to be all things to all people and need a little space to rest, relax, reflect, perhaps rediscover their creativity, rediscover who they are before the busyness of life got in the way, and just to replenish really and go back into their normal lives with an added zest and more inspiration really for doing more of what they'd like to do. So that retreat is going to be in June, and that's a 5-day retreat with 2 free days, so it's a week in all, at a lovely beachside place, lovely beachside house, quite a traditional Greek beachside house, right on the beach, which is lovely, and it's not in a commercial area, which is even more lovely. So lots of opportunity there to beach walk, beach comb, lovely island tour, and just meet with a like-minded group of women where we'll do some artful workshops, lots of free time, lots of fun. And that promises to be beautiful. And the second one is a writer's retreat in September, again for 5 days and 2 days free at the same place. And that's for people who perhaps want to begin writing a book, or perhaps would like to deepen their practice or set up a practice. I'm writing one myself, so I know how important it is to have a kind of a daily practice, if possible, or certainly 2 or 3 times a week where you set aside time to write. And I've just come back from the Hay House Writers Retreat with Julia Cameron. That was the week before last. and the chief CEO of Hay House America and UK, and got lots and lots of information about how to be published and how to get yourself into the flow of writing, how to cope with your demons and your critics. And so I think that also will be a lovely, lovely retreat for writers, creative types, and anybody really who's ever wanted to try their hand at writing, poetry, journaling, that kind of thing. So they're my two retreats for next year, Jen.
That's fabulous, Detta. And you've been putting on retreats for quite a long time now, haven't you? Quite a few years?
I have, actually. I've been putting on retreats for in Catalonia, about 10, 12 years, something like that. I tend to only do very small, and I tend to be one-to-one or perhaps two people. Last year saw a group retreat, which was fabulous, a group of women, and that was really, really super, lovely, lovely energy, great fun. And this year, hopefully, there'll be a decent sized group. They will always be small because I prefer to work with a small group, maybe 6 to 8. But equally, I'm quite happy to do a personalised type of thing for if anybody wants to come just on a one to one.
That's absolutely brilliant. How would you describe in just a few words what an unfinished woman is?
Right. Go on.
Have you got some way of describing? So apparently you've written a poem as well, haven't you?
Well, I wrote the poem a very long time ago, and it's quite sort of an arty poem, really. It doesn't really describe an unfinished woman. It's quite a descriptive poem, but it is called An Unfinished Woman. But basically, it's just, you know how it is, Jen. We become incredibly busy with life. We grow into relationships and becoming somebody's wife or partner. We become mothers, especially us kind of baby boomers. We look after our parents. We've got all kinds of roles to play for all kinds of people. And I think we reach a stage where we become quite reflective. And I don't think it's got any age to it, although midlife does come to mind for me. Probably a bit older than midlife now. And we just think, okay, it's our turn now. So what is it that we would really love to do? Or what did we love doing before the busyness of life jumped in our way? You know, the busyness of life can smother us and keep us from listening to our soul callings and our heart whisperings. And we're all unfinished. You know, I think we'll all remain unfinished until we are finished. So in that respect, it's about women who still have dreams to fulfill, who still have longings and soul callings and heart whispers, and who want to reconnect with some of the energy they felt as a child when they didn't have any labels put on them. It's reconnecting with our creative heart, if you like, and just looking at where do we want to go from here and how do we want the next part of our life journey to be.
That's really interesting. And do you think the sea helps with this process, being near the sea? Do you find the sea
me.
To be very cleansing and nurturing, the sea, and sitting on the beach watching the waves? Yeah.
I'm laughing because, and I think you'll probably know why I'm laughing, because I always do a meditation at the sea frequently when we finish. And I remember one year, I think you were actually with me, where one of our guests, her boat didn't float.
Her boat didn't float? Oh, my word.
And at the end of that divine meditation, off we put our little boats with all of our negative stuff into the sea, and her boat didn't float. And I'll always, whenever I hear about doing a meditation at sea, I'm reminded of that. And I'm reminded of myself wading out into the sea to throw this boat out further.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat,
in all
yeah.
seriousness, yes, I think the sea is incredibly cleansing. And it is a breath, it's an absolute breath of fresh air. And it's beautiful to walk and pick up bits and pieces. You never know what you're going to find on the beach. And I have the most, the most gorgeous, if you're into drifted and you're into shells and you're into bits and bobs, I have wonderful, wonderful finds. It's very, very exciting for me. And I think lots of people feel like that. They can wander and get lost. They're free. They find freedom by the sea.
Okay, so they will be going, they'll have a couple of days free. They'll be having tuition with you, but they'll also have days free to do what they want to do. And will you also be taking them around the island as well? Different parts?
Well, how I'm going to work it, sorry, Jen, to interrupt you then. How I'm going to work it this year is I'm going to have somebody probably facilitating with me. And we'll do the normal format of workshops in the morning, your breakfast, and then about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours of workshops, communal lunch, and then free time, and then meet up again around 6-ish, see what's come up for anybody, and then there will be some dinners, and there'll also be opportunity to go off and find your own tavernas with friends. And then midway through the retreat, we've got a lovely island tour adventure, which will be just gorgeous, seeing all the places that only I know, really, and also some of the places that others know. But I do take people to secret, yummy places and tell them some local stories of my time over the last 20 years being there in Kefalonia. And then at the end of the retreat, the last 2 days are free. That said, I've organised a very special day, the day after the retreat, which I kind of want to keep as a surprise, and that's my thank you gift to everybody for coming, which everyone's very, very welcome to come on, and that should be absolutely gorgeous. So, and then the last day, is absolutely, absolutely free. So it's a nice all-round space in which to just connect, really, with others, connect with yourself, have some fun, take some time out for you, try your hand at a bit of intuitive art and some nice things to make and play with. Yeah, a bit of journaling.
Do you find that you have some people who've never, ever done anything like this before, have never written in journals, have never done art, you know, and they're sort of like, don't know how to start. Do you get people like that, don't know how to start, and once they start, they love it? You know, is that how it is?
I do, of course, because when we talk about painting, people automatically think they have to be an artist. And the biggest thing I hear is when I mention retreats or I mention a workshop here in the UK, they'll say, but I'm not creative. I'd love to be creative. And I tell them, you are creative. You just don't think you are. I don't teach how-tos. I don't teach how to paint pretty pictures. I don't teach how to write perfect prose. What I do is I guide you to give yourself permission to try it. And the way I learned somebody, and I learned in my 30s, a very beautiful artist friend chucked all her paints in the middle of a table one day and said, go on, get your hands in and just play. And that absolutely liberated me. And without that, I never, ever would have been able to make the work I've made. I don't have attachments to it. I make it for the joy of it. If I don't like it, I just paint over it. I'm really not that bothered. I'm very lucky that people do seem to like what I do, but I do it because I love it. And it's the same with journaling. I will prompt you. I will give you prompts and help you to access your own creativity so that you'll always be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And you do make bits of jewellery and things like that as well, don't you?
I haven't done it for a while, to be honest. I have phases. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm into driftwood and kind of looking at how I can add meaning to pieces of driftwood, you know, words or perhaps something with clay or I'm just playing with ideas at the moment. But I have phases where I go through painting or writing or clay, air-dried clay, or I just have a go at whatever I feel like, really. I listen to my soul whispers.
Yeah. And do you find that the people on your retreat normally bond with each other, you know, because they're doing the similar sort of things, obviously, that they're all, you know, get to know each other. So the people bond with each other as a friendship
by and large, most people, some people want to come and just, they want their own space, and that's fine. They'll join in the workshops, but they want to follow the process in a quiet sort of reflective way, and that's absolutely fine. Other people need that feeling of the group. By and large, everybody, and I found this in workshops over and over, when people, and I get people to kind of work in little huddles, really, like Julia Cameron always gets people to work in little clusters. The right people always find the right people, always. And then they can go deep quite quickly if they want to. And that's where the bonding takes place. And then overall, people following their own paths and their own journeys, the bonding also takes place when you're sharing, you know, when you're meeting up in the evenings. And we're sharing when we come up. And women are terribly supportive of one another. If somebody is struggling with something, you'll always get a woman to say, "I can help you," or can I suggest this? Or so, yes, I like the energy of women's groups. I absolutely love watching it. I love feeling it, and I love facilitating it. And I'm honoured that these women come and they trust me to hold that space for them safely and with love. And nurturing, because we're quite gentle on how we do it. There are no shoulds or have to's or musts. And the big business stuff, over the years, I've had several businesses, I asked them to leave all of that, unless obviously I was doing a one-to-one with a particular business plan or something. But by and large, this is about nurturing and supporting and investigating our dreams and rediscovering ourselves. And just taking time out for ourselves as women.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. And what about what age are these women? Are they all similar age? Are they different ages? Does it matter? You know, do they, you know, is there any criteria after who can come on one of these? I mean, obviously, they've got to be a woman.
Yes. It would if they find themselves as a woman, yes. I welcome warts, wobbly bits, and wrinkles. There are no criteria. You're not defined by anything. Just bringing yourself. I've had girls of 19, and I've had women of 82. So everybody has something to give, to share, and to teach somebody else, and we all learn from each other, no matter what, really.
I love that, and because I have been there and I have taken part in some of the workshops, which is absolutely brilliant, I found this sea really cleansing. And when I was there, I felt very creative. I mean, I wrote a small book. It just somehow, being in that energy of Catalonia, inspires you to be creative, I feel. It's like you've left all your troubles behind and you're still there?
Yes, I am, sorry.
Right, it's like you've left all your troubles behind and you're in a good space, you're in a really good space to bring in new ideas, aren't you?
Yes, you are, and it's a very strange island. It's not your pretty cubic houses of Mykonos and Santorini. It's a very awe-inspiring island with much greenery, lots of beautiful trees, gorgeous mountains, but not much architecture. That said, when you drive, wherever you drive, and you drive mostly coastal, really, or drive through the mountains, you can. There's something about the energy there that's, you're quite right, it invites you to leave everything behind and be. You know, be really at peace with yourself. And also, I find it incredibly easy, and everybody I know who's come up to my old house up in the mountains, they feel very connected to the place, and very creative. They feel very free to be able to try things they've never done, connect with their own creativity, and just relax really, really quickly. And it just gets under your skin. It's a strange place. Sometimes you wonder, it's so quirky, and you think, what am I doing here? And other times it's so beautiful. It makes you want to weep. It's so stunning. So it's a strange and weird and wild and wonderful place that I have to say, yeah, I do love it. It's got its own peculiar charm, and it never ceases to give up its beauty, you know, and offer its magic.
Mm. Now, I know we've mentioned it before, and how much of this I'm not sure you want to reveal. The house in the mountains is very interesting, isn't it? And you actually wrote a little story around that, didn't you? Because it's quite unique, your house in the mountains, isn't it?
It is. It's an amazing place. And it's called the Old Cafenion, which it was an old cafenion, an old cafe for the local village. I won't reveal everything. It's a short story, but basically the young man in the 20s decided he was going to go to America, which he did, learnt about earthquakes, came back, built this amazing house, and put a big steel lintel through it. Don't know how on earth he ever managed to get it up there. No roads then. And when the earthquake happened in 1953, everywhere on the island was razed to the ground. It was a horrendous time. And a handful of houses stayed. And ours was one of them. There were only 250 houses, I think, on the whole island. And of that 250, I think only 25 have been renovated. Ours is dry. It's got a roof on. It's still pretty solid, but it isn't renovated and it doesn't have any electric or water. And the story I wrote is about a love story about a lady who waited for him to come back from America. And that's in my little short story, which is now on iBooks. It was on Amazon, unfortunately. My publisher had a bit of a set to with Amazon, so that's not on Amazon yet. I have to rewrite it on Amazon, but it's on iBooks, and it's the Old Cafenion. But it's a very true story, and it's a very beautiful story. And just as an added bit to that, I found about 3 months ago, because it's very hard to find out information, any more information about the man, or, you know, people are quite reticent to give you any information. And I saw somewhere on Facebook, there was a National Geographic from 1973, and in it, the journalist and photographer had gone around the Ionian Islands, and there, slap in the middle, was a picture of our house with the old chap and the lady who he came back from America to, standing outside our house. So we got the National Geographic, and a photographer friend of mine has taken a picture in exactly the same position of Jay and my husband and myself, and nothing looks any different. It just looks just older, but everything looks kind of the same. So that was quite interesting, and we have some of these old things, and I think maybe I'm going to make it an art studio next year and maybe open up the downstairs as a little museum in, you know, to honour his spirit and her spirit, really.
That's absolutely amazing. Lovely. It's definitely in the spirit of Catalonia. That's a beautiful thing to do. And I have read that story myself. I actually got quite emotional when I read it, but then, you know, it's such a nice thing to read. So absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you, Jane.
Okay. So, Detta, thank you for coming on the Natural Co-Creator Show and telling us about your unfinished women retreats. I'm just going to ask you for the dates, and also I've got your links on here, but if you could just confirm the dates in June when your retreat is.
Okay, it's Sunday, the 10th of June, until the 17th. And obviously, if anybody wants to come before or stay longer, then I can organise accommodation for that. But the retreat date is actually the 10th to the 17th of June for Unfinished Woman. And the September one is the 9th of September, until the 16th. And again, if anybody wants to come, because we have got somebody coming from Australia in June and maybe Canada, they'll obviously come before and then join us on the 10th.
Okay, so that's brilliant. So who's joining you on the writer's retreat? I think you've got, have you got somebody helping you with that?
Yeah, the lady who's co-facilitating it is a writer herself, published. Her name is Phyllis Witzel. Amazing story she's got. I'm sure if you Google her, you'll find out her story. She's had one book published and the other's just due out after Christmas. And it looks like some of the Hollywood boys are going to turn it into a film. So she's a beautiful lady who still works as a nurse. Her story is amazing. She's very warm, very funny. And she's going to just be talking about how her story, basically, how she got published, and this amazing story of hers where, you know, she's sort of hitting the big time and she doesn't have a platform or a Facebook page or anything really like that. So she's quite an amazing character and very warm and very lovely. So, yeah, she's going to be co-facilitating with me in September. So yeah, that's going to be very exciting.
That's great. Okay, so we have www.detadarnell.com and we have your Facebook, which is facebook.com/unfinishedwoman Detta Darnell. So, you know, if they go with those links, and they can actually, you can actually click from the preview and then you can go and straight to find out what all these retreats are about in more detail. You know, this is personal recommendation for me. I think it's going to be fantastic. Get yourself booked, that's what I'd say. You know, plan early. Get yourself booked before Christmas. Then you can just think you'll get through Christmas. You've got something great to look forward to and something transformational. Just really good.
Okay, well, I think you need to come out again, Jen. I think you need to come out again because the book you wrote and the meditation, The Shades of Kephalonia, I love. I use it all the time. I love Shades of Kephalonia. Beautiful meditation, beautifully narrated. I really do like it a lot. So I think you need to come and be doing Shades 2 or another.
Shades 2. Great. I'll come out and do Shades too with you. Maybe, you know, we can. That will be a whole new chapter for us. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Detta. Thank you very much for coming on the Natural Co-Creator Show. And do come back and after your retreat, and we can hear how everything went. That'd be fantastic. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye now. Okay, so that's the fabulous Detta Darnell, and, you know, these retreats are fascinating. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play you One Love from the album Life, which is written and sang by Dietmar and Catherine, who are going to come on next week and talk about their retreats, which are in the UK, in Lavenham, apparently. And they have lots of therapies and all sorts of things going on locally to where I live in Suffolk. So it's going to be something totally different to hear about and learn about. They're going to have yoga and different things like that as well. So I'm going to play you one of their wonderful tracks from the album Life. Hopefully it's coming. Okay, so that was the fabulous Catherine and Dietmar, which we'll hear a little bit more from next week, so that'd be really good. I'm now going to just play you A Cold Winter's Day by Mr. G.
This poem is called A Cold Winter's Day. It's a cold winter's day outside. She sits and sips a dry white wine and tries not to reminisce on what she's left right behind, for what's behind her mind drifts is but a memory, see. But that's another story, so let it be, G. Let her keep a little pride and a little dignity and try not to even mention it in this rhyme. Okay, I'll be discreet. Let's focus on the present. Now is the time, and the place is right here. I won't bore you with location because I know you won't care, but it's a little-known bar, on a little-known street, around the corner from the station where she's waiting to meet. Ah! There I go again. I'm giving away too much detail. But her train arrives in an hour and she's been biting her nails. This time she won't fail. This time she'll succeed. Another sip of dry white wine will give her the courage that she needs. The bar is starting to fill up, and an atmosphere builds up. Each time the door opens, she feels her skin chill up. Is that him? Is he finally here? We don't have much time, and her agitation is clear, but it's not him. She sighs. So far, he hasn't arrived, for the man who just entered bears a stranger's guise. She dulls the pain with wine to rearrange her mind to kill the feelings inside that dangerously chime. As she pines, why isn't he here? Several thoughts now appear, along with the promises of love so romantically near, along with the vows and dreams lost, they planned it so clear. Finally it comes to this, her last sip to dampen her last fear. It's 20 minutes until her train departs. Her bags are all packed and heavy, ready for the new start. She leaves the bar and embarks towards the train station. The confidence she imparts is ready to meet him if he's waiting. She's hesitating. What would her mother say? For it's a big decision she plans on this cold winter's day. Mums will have to understand she didn't mean it this way, but once burning fires have been fanned, you can't keep the heat at bay. 10 minutes. She wants another drink. He still isn't here. Did he ever really love her, she thinks as her eyes display tears? Were all those years are wasted, emotions misplaced, promises broken and false hopes being chased? 5 minutes. She starts to cry. She boards the train, but in her heart, her last stop has already arrived. But she can't go back. Go back to what? Back to the pain and the hate, the shame and the rot. That's when he crosses her mind with his warm, loving smile. He said that their love was so strong as they walked down the aisle. So strong that he'd mistreat her and beat her until she miscarried her child. So strong that he'd take her and debase her, leaving her feeling defiled. So strong that he'd break her heart over and over, a 15-year trial. But on this cold winter's day, she's escaped him, and she's finally free to break the denial.
That was definitely very, very moving from Mr. G. So I'm just going to play out the show with The Gift by Ashna. Good night, wherever you are. Good morning, good night, and see you next week.